Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds are back at First Horizon Park, taking on Norfolk. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch 6:35. Sounds baseball presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure on 94.9 The Fan. We say hello now to Hal Gill. Skillsy is on the line with us to talk about all things Predators. Hal, what's up?
Not much. Just, you know, just recovering from the little bit of whiplash that we got last night. But, hey, it's all right. It's okay.
The sun came up.
It's going to be a good pick, you know?
Exactly. You got a top five pick. The sun came up today. Everything is going to be just fine. So I want to start with the Andrew Burnett part of this. As Barry Trotz, you know, made it official yesterday, Andrew Burnett's going to be back as the head coach. And, you know, I think one of the thing that I hear the most from the fans is, well, he had all year to make changes and he didn't do that. And I have said that that is not entirely true because, you know, you were with this team all year. He made adjustments. So what adjustments can he continue to make to this system that everybody talks about that maybe he can make bigger adjustments in the offseason and training camp that he couldn't do in the regular season?
Well, I think it's tough. I think he has a system that, and we've seen it work. When it works, the Preds were really hard to play against. There's a lot of pressure on the puck, and they come as a five-man unit. You know, there's defense, there's centers, there's forwards, but really when they're playing it well, it's, you know, there's a lot of rotation, there's a lot of movement because they are on top of pucks and they stay on top of pucks. And so I think by not making changes, you're allowing everyone to get into what, you know, to get into the system. And I think there was a lot of talk about, you know, things weren't working as well as they wanted. And it was just a matter of time before it would click, right? Like, I mean, you look at an 0-5 start that really wasn't an 0-5 start. I thought that was a lot of things they did well. They hit a couple posts. They missed some nets. The scoring wasn't there, and they lost those games. But I think they were onto something. They looked like they were going to be a good team and going to play a hard game. They just weren't clicking. So I think you kind of ride it out, and you got to have some belief and some faith in your system, and it just didn't come around. And so now a year into it, you didn't make those changes, you bought into it. Well, you have a new year and a fresh start to kind of do everything and say, okay, it didn't work, so something has to change, and what is it going to be? And I think that's, you know, ultimately what they have to address in the offseason is, and starts in training camp. I didn't think the Preds had a great training camp, and a lot of unforeseen things. They missed a preseason game due to the weather and the storms, and all those little things kind of crept in. And so I think they have to address all of that and then move forward.
How much of having this season under their belt and, you know, now being a Nashville Predator for over a year is going to help guys like Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea?
I think it's going to help a lot. I when you get traded, and every guy is different. When you get traded or you sign with a different team, there's, you know, you come in, you try to fit in, you try to, you know, figure out where you are. And I think the adversity that they went through last year is going to help them in the long run. And I hope it does, because when you go through those hard times, you kind of call each other out and you have those little fights in the locker room, and you know, you learn from those. And I think it's funny that every time someone talks about a team and they say, oh, this guy came out to the media about a fight he had or a disagreement he had, you know, the whole Marchessault thing was, you know, he said something and you know, it got out and it got legs. But that stuff happens all the time on winning teams. You know, like inside that locker room, you know, it's a sacred space, and I don't think it should be let out. But it happens all the time. I've been on winning teams, losing teams. There's disagreements, there's fights. That is going to happen. And so I think, you know, you go through all that, and then the next year you come back and you've been through those down times together, and you kind of learn about your teammates, you learn about your dynamic in the locker room, and now you come back, and I think there's going to be – well, I know there's going to be guys like O'Reilly, Stamkos, Forsberg, Jay, Marcia. So those guys have won before. They know how to win. They know how to battle and compete, and I think there's going to be a little bit more openness when they get into the locker room next season, and they're going to demand more from each other. And I think that's what they need, and I think that's what we're going to see. There's going to be tweaks, of course, with everything, but I think that standard is going to be a very different standard for what they expect out of this season.
Talking to Hal Gill on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Hal, what's one thing you would do different? One thing you would do different if when training camp starts this fall?
I think they need to get on the same page and quicker. I think they had some hard practices. And I think there were some guys that are going, okay, I'm just picking up the system. I'm going to take my time and figure it out. And I think that kind of, three new guys that are veterans that are coming in with a rookie coming in, you're going, oh boy, I got to get the system. I got to figure it out. I got to go now. And I think there was a lot of veterans that were looking around going, okay, don't worry about it, guys. We're going to get through this. And I think this training camp needs to be, boys, we got embarrassed last year, and we got to go. We're going to have some young guys in the lineup that are going to need to learn quick, but we're the veterans, and we need to drive the bus. And I think that urgency in camp is going to be, it's going to be defining of what their season is going to be like, because I know there's a lot of pride. Roman Josi is going to get back in the lineup and say, it's unacceptable what happened last year, and he's going to call his teammates out if they're not on board. And I think guys are going to be on board a lot quicker, and I think you're going to see a team that's a lot hungrier as soon as game one comes around.
Would you be okay? NFL teams used to do this all the time. They'd go away to camp for 2 weeks and be gone from everyone. Would you be okay if the Preds for 1 week just went somewhere, just them, and it wasn't about hockey, it was just about being together?
Yeah. Yeah, and it used to happen a lot more. I remember asking Laviolette about that, and he disagreed. I was on a team that with Philadelphia on his team that we went away and went to kind of a boot camp when I was in Philly, and I'm crawling through a tunnel going, like with guys shooting paintballs at me, and I'm going, what are we doing? This isn't hockey. This is ridiculous. But then, you're in a tunnel with a teammate and you're laughing at him and he's laughing at you, and you create that bond. And it's a simple thing. And then you go have dinner and you have a couple laughs and you make fun of the coach for making you do all that stupid stuff. And then you turn around and you're bonded and you're on the same page. And you said it, like, not necessarily hockey, but it's just a human bonding. And I think you need that. And then I talked to Laviolette and he said, yeah, you all that stuff, just stay in your bed, rest up, be ready to go. And I think there's something to be said for getting away. If I was coaching or a GM, I would 100% get my team to go somewhere to do something. And I think that's something that certainly every, when you're looking at what do we want to do for training camp, you put that in the mix, because I think that means a lot. Even if it's 2 or 3 days, a golf trip or, just to get things going and get on the same page. And they didn't have that last year. They had a lot of new guys coming in, and they had 9 out of 10 games at home. And, you really didn't get a way to be with the boys and get that bonding kicked off.
Hal, I don't think, and you know this really well, so I want to ask you this. I don't think we understand how tremendously difficult being a general manager is in the NHL. I mean, to me, I could not fathom doing that job.
I hate to say this, but I have a lot of teammates that they were good-looking guys when they became a GM, and then the hair goes away or it goes gray, and they look like, just think about, like, as a coach, you have, your 20 to 25 guys that you have to worry about, and you focus on that, and you go home and you beat yourself up every night. Well, as a GM, like, there's no off days, like Trotsky's on the phone, and okay, yeah, it's the off season. Well, he's got to meet with these guys. He's got to do all this stuff. Like, he's constantly getting after it. And I think it's exhausting. I don't think I'm a GM material, because I think you just can't turn off. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. And that's why, you know, some of the successful GMs are the ones that just keep going. You look at Lou Lamoriello, and we were talking about him. He's retired and he's out, or we think he's retired. But then we said, well, what is he going to do now? Like, he's been doing this for a long time. He's been a GM forever. And now what does he do? I don't think he necessarily has a life. His life was being a GM. And, you know, talk to David Poyle. He's getting a chance to relax a little bit, and he wants to sit back and take it all in. But when hockey is your life and being a GM is your life, it's hard to go back to anything else.
Hal Gill is with us, Predators analyst. So with the fifth overall pick now, and they also have two other first rounders, Barry Trotz, you know, has some options potentially. You know, obviously you got to find a dance partner, but they could stick and pick at five. Maybe he could attempt to move up. Maybe he moves back. Do you like, you know, I know we all wanted the number one pick or a top three, but overall, do you like the position they're in with a top five?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last night. I don't think there's, you know, there's a lot of times where you have, you know, the one or two pick is going to be like this generational player. You know, I don't think these guys are that. I think they're really good hockey players, but I don't think there's a huge drop off. So I'm not necessarily upset. You know, obviously you want to get the best player you can get. And so getting at the bottom is just kind of it just caps off the season. You know, it's just like, oh, you can't go further than five. So yeah, I guess we got five. So that's frustrating, but I think there's so many ways that Barry Trotz can play this. And I really think the offer sheet stands out to me is because free agency isn't a great year. It's going to be tough, and you're going to have to overpay to get the player that you're going to want. And so I think offer sheets are going to be thrown out with and using those draft picks to get a good player. I think there's going to be movement in the draft to try to maybe trade for someone that you like and use. Cause I think the Preds and I think there's a lot of people that disagree with me. I just don't think this is a team that can tank. I don't think you're going to do a rebuild with Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and UC Saros and Stamkos, O'Reilly, Shea, you just go up and down this lineup and there's so many good players. And if you can compliment and give them a little help with some of the younger guys coming up, I think it's going to hit in one or two years. And I believe that. And so I think, you know, taking another step back is going to be tough to do. I think you want to keep going. And I think there's a lot of weapons that Barry Trotz still has, and I think he's going to use them. I hope he uses them because, you know, it's not far off in my opinion.
You know, right now, Mitch Marner's probably the number one UFA that would be out there. Is he somebody that you would pursue if you're Barry Trotz, or do you think they may look elsewhere? And, I mean, ultimately, he could be back in Toronto.
Yeah. Like, you look at him, Bennett, you know, these guys,
Tavares.
You're going to have to overpay to get them. You know, like, I think we're talking about Marner. Like what? How much do you think he's going to get? Like, you're looking at Rantanen that got out $12 million. I don't know how you build a team and build a culture with a $12 million guy.
Yeah.
Unless they're McDavid, you know, Crosby, like these McKinnon, McCarr, like these guys are. You know, I don't see that guy out there, and I do love Marner. I think he's awesome, but I just don't know if I'm ready to overpay for that right now. And so I think that's why I say the offer sheet is better. You can get a guy that's maybe a $5 or $6 million guy that's younger, and you can kind of use that to build your core and be that gap between the veterans and the young guys. And I think that's where I would probably go, but you know, I'm not the GM. I'm not as smart as a GM, so we'll see. Trotz is a lot smarter than I am.
Well, we'll have a lot of time to break it all down and talk about it. Hal, appreciate it as always. Good to see you yesterday and last night. It was a lot of fun doing the show with you. But enjoy the off season. It's officially here.
Yeah, we had a nice Cinco de Mayo, and I know you had a long day, and you battled through it, and so I appreciate you, pal.
Well,
you guys, enjoy the summer. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot of good things that are going to happen, and I need you, the Smashville fan base, to believe me. There's a lot of good things going on, and it's going to come around. It's a tough year. We took a step back, but we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Amen to that. Thanks, Gilsey.
All right, you got it, pal. Cheers.
All right. Hal Gill joining us here on the program, and we did have a nice Cinco de Mayo, that is for sure.
Buddies.
He's a good man. We'll react to some of the things that he had to say, including some of you have asked on the text line, are there some free agent targets? We can kind of look at that. Coming up next at 10 o'clock, though, what do we got?
A fun segment we're going to do this summer. God bless you, Bubba, on that.
Thank you for
there.
That save.
It's called What If. What if this would have happened? And we got a great What If at 10 o'clock, and we'll get all your responses. Chase and Dr. Crane don't know what it is. I'm tasked with coming up with the What If, but it'll be fun. But we need your reaction.
We'll do that at 10. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Tuesday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.